What happens after happily ever after breaks? When the vows shatter, when grief hollows out what was once whole? This is where Yasmin and Josiah's story truly begins, not with their meet-cute, but with their painful separation. Once business partners, best friends, and passionate lovers who built a thriving restaurant and beautiful family together, they now navigate the awkward choreography of co-parenting and running their restaurant Grits while their hearts remain raw with unspoken pain. Their love didn't fade. It fractured under the weight of devastating losses that transformed them both. When Yasmin delivered their stillborn son Henry and descended into depression, neither knew how to reach across the chasm grief had carved between them. Now, 2 years after their divorce, the physical attraction between them remains electric, but trust seems irretrievable. As they circle each other in the delicate dance of divorced co-parents, one question lingers. Can love that once seemed unbreakable find its way back from the most profound heartbreak? Their love story began with terrible chicken soup. When Josiah fell ill with flu, Yasmin arrived with a homemade disaster, overcooked noodles in under-seasoned broth. Despite his fever, they dissolved into laughter over her culinary catastrophe. Josiah realized that finding someone to laugh with when everything hurts might be the foundation of lasting love. Their courtship blended spontaneity with certainty. Late one night, amid business plans for their dream restaurant, Josiah proposed with a simple band he'd been carrying for weeks. When Yasmin said yes, their kiss tasted like forever. These early memories contrast sharply with their present estrangement. The couple who once communicated through mere glances now exchange formal emails and carefully worded texts. The lovers who couldn't keep their hands off each other, stealing kitchen kisses, holding hands under meeting tables, now maintain careful distance during awkward handoffs of their children. Yet beneath this constructed distance, embers still smolder. In their restaurant kitchen, they move with unconscious synchronicity. Their bodies remembering a harmony their hearts have forgotten. The tragedy that destroyed their marriage emerges through fragmented memories. They suffered devastating losses. Josiah's Aunt Bird, who raised him after his parents died, then their stillborn son Henry, lost when Yasmin experienced a placental abruption. Grief affected them differently. Yasmin fell into severe depression, sitting disheveled and still in Henry's nursery, describing it as looking up at my life from the bottom of a well. Josiah buried himself in work, never crying for their son, focused instead on maintaining financial stability. The breaking point came when Yasmin wanted another baby, a do-over for Henry, despite doctors' warning another pregnancy could kill her. When Josiah refused, their argument culminated with Yasmin saying, "I want a divorce." Josiah clung to their vows, till the wheels fall off, but Yasmin explained that being together hurt too much. Their grief's portrayal is powerful because it shows how differently they coped, her withdrawal versus his hyperactivity, creating a seemingly unbridgeable divide and illustrating how unprocessed grief threatens what remains. The novel challenges mental health stigmas, particularly within Black communities, through its positive portrayal of therapy. Josiah initially dismisses therapy as for the weak-minded, while Yasmin struggles through two therapists before finding Dr. Abrams, who helps silence her depression's destructive voice. When their son Kasim's teacher suggests therapy for his fears, Josiah makes a breakthrough. He'll see a therapist if Kasim will, crossing a boundary he wouldn't during their marriage. Through therapy, both confront core wounds. Josiah recognizes with Dr. Musa that something broke in me after my parents died but healed wrong, experiencing his first cathartic cry since childhood. Yasmin discovers depression deceived me and learns to forgive decisions made while unwell rather than treating her depressed self as separate. By normalizing therapy for both genders, for crises and maintenance alike, the novel challenges stigmas preventing many people, especially in communities of color, from seeking help. Their journeys show that professional support represents courage, not weakness. Despite their painful history, the physical attraction between them remains undeniable, a magnetic force that neither time nor divorce has diminished. Their first intimate reconnection happens during a business trip to Charlotte, where a hotel booking mistake leaves them sharing a room with one bed. After sharing whiskey and discussing their separation, comfort turns to desire. Josiah proposes, "We do this once, get it out of our systems, and forget this night happened." Their lovemaking is intense and familiar, our bodies remembering each other perfectly, leaving them in shocked silence, the experience having reordered our world. What begins as a supposed one-night arrangement evolves into a secret affair with ground rules. This isn't reconciliation, they'll keep it from the children, and maintain exclusivity. The physical reconnection bridges emotional vulnerability, creating space for deeper conversations. When Yasmin finally admits, "I want you back," and presses Josiah's hand over her heart, the physical becomes transcendent, a tangible expression her words alone couldn't convey. Amidst their personal struggles, Yasmin and Josiah continue parenting their grieving children. 14-year-old Deja has grown distant from her mother while staying close to her father. 10-year-old Kasim quietly worries about losing more family members, his journal revealing fears that his whole family will die like his aunt and brother. A pivotal moment occurs when Deja catches her parents together and reveals she overheard Yasmin asking for divorce years earlier. Her accusation, "It's all her fault," forces both parents to address their separation honestly. Josiah defends Yasmin, admitting shared responsibility, while Yasmin acknowledges her mistakes and explains depression. "I fell down and could not figure out how to recover." This conversation creates a breakthrough. When Yasmin extends trembling arms toward Deja, saying, "I don't want to lose you too," her daughter collapses into her embrace, the wall between them finally crumbling. The novel demonstrates how children interpret adult conflicts through limited understanding. While protecting children from adult problems matters, honest, age-appropriate communication about difficult topics ultimately strengthens family bonds and builds resilience. The emotional climax arrives when Yasmin admits she wants Josiah back, fully in my life again. She retrieves her discarded wedding ring from a fountain, a symbol of their promise to love each other till the wheels fall off. When she confesses, "I know I said I couldn't find the love, but I promise it's still here," Josiah initially retreats, fearing more pain. Hours later, he appears at her door, his therapy breakthrough helping him overcome his fear of loving and losing. Their reunion includes promises of continued growth. Josiah acknowledges he still has work to do and suggests couples counseling. Yasmin assures him, "I'm not going anywhere," to which he responds, "I'm really bad at losing you." A year later, their restaurant has expanded, their children thrive, and they're taking adoption classes. Josiah proposes remarriage with a ring inscribed "Wheel," representing our own eternity. Their reconciliation feels earned through genuine growth, professional help, and mutual forgiveness. As Yasmin reflects, her triumph isn't that she never lost this love, but that I believed in it so much, I ran back into the fire to save it.